Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Now rolls to his right, has room, fires, and he finds an open receiver in the end zone, Westbrook Akine, for a 4-yard touchdown reception. Back to back, scoring drives for the Titans.
You are dead! I saw you die!
Handoff goes to Cook. Through a hole to the five. Into the end zone for the touchdown.
I was faking. I used ninja focus to slow my heart rate down.
Blitz coming. Fires over the middle for Amari Super Cooper for a 12-yard touchdown reception.
What are you doing?
Hearing you.
Looks underneath. Complete to Ty Johnson for a 4-yard touchdown reception.
You're waking the neighbors. Oh. Shut up.
Cuts it inside. Spins out of a tackle. Down to the 10, to the 5. Has Hollins in front of him. And into the end zone. Ray the pile driver Davis.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Happy Victory Monday. Monday night doubleheader tonight, by the way, too, if you want more football.
Nice.
Ravens, Bucks, and Cardinals, Chargers. Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Our man on the field during the game, Mr. Sal Capaccio, Bills beat reporter, joins us on the Wester Hotline as we roll through a Buffalo Bills Victory Monday. Good morning, Sal. Perfect day down there. Did you stay cool enough? It was almost hot enough to get one of those shots of the temperature gauge on the turf. Like, it might have been 75 down there.
It was amazing, except for one thing, which I'll get to in 1 second. But there was one point. So I was wearing a thin hoodie, and I had a shirt underneath as well. And someone early on goes, "You don't need to wear that, man." It's like, I'm like, no, it's fine. Like, I don't know. It's a little breezy, right? So long sleeves. It was great. What a great, gorgeous day. It really was. I mean, you know, we don't get many of those in Orchard Park. Someone pointed out to me. I saw it online. This was the 10-year anniversary this weekend of the Sammy Watkins game against the Vikings, catching that pass. And I remember that game. Like, there's pictures. You could see me on the sidelines watching that. I'm bundled up. Like, it was 10 years ago this same week, and it was cold. It was in the 40s, I think, you know, during that game. It was awesome, except for one thing. I'm throwing a flag on myself. I should have arrowed down myself. I didn't. Because I want to be the first one to admit and tell you guys, 11 years on the sidelines, 11 years. And for the first time ever, I got hit with a long snap by Reed Ferguson.
Oh. Like walking
and this
through
is
it?
And Lex, listen, I have to give a shout out to Reed. I talked about this on Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast last night, by the way. Matt Bova and I recorded. You can go listen. I have to give a shout out to Reed. He could have he took some off it because he knew I was standing there. You know what I mean? And he didn't have to do that. And man, if you guys have ever been down there, near there, when they're practicing these long snaps, and they're going fast, and like, it's so chaotic, like, there's people going in, I'm like one of the people like, hey, watch out, you know, helping people so they don't get hit. And you know what happened, though? I was so caught up. This is why you guys appreciate it. It was during Mr. Brightside. And I was so caught up in it with the crowd. I was kind of looking at the crowd walking, and we're all kind of looking back and forth at each other. I walked right into the long snap. Reed saw it, and I got drilled, and he took it. Like I said, he could have really hit me. He didn't. So I appreciate that from Reed Ferguson. And we had a good laugh about it, but partly because if it was just maybe 2 inches closer to where it hit me, it would have been a much, much different story. Mm.
Mr. Brightside, a raucous scene, Sal, as the Bills had started to party themselves on the field in the second half by that point.
Again, yeah. I mean, it was a really nice, obviously, fourth quarter and end of the game when that starts coming on to kind of feel good about where they were. But for quite a while there, that was not the case, obviously, guys. It was certainly a tale of two halves, right? I mean, I just could not stop thinking about the domination and yardage, really, more than anything, from the first half to the second. At halftime, it was 217-90, the Titans. 217-90 in yardage. In the second half, 299-72 for the Bills. It was incredible. I mean, what an incredible swing.
Yeah. On top of that, you got, like, so one thing we thought wouldn't happen to the same extent, and maybe it didn't, was Will Levis not playing for the Titans were these mistakes that would be made by the Titans. And, like, Rudolph made his share of mistakes. And it felt like at some point the center in him just could not get on the same page. Even, I think it was at the end of the game, that, like, they couldn't even get a snap off so that he could hand the ball off. So, yeah. Like, Rudolph and the passing game for Tennessee especially, like, it felt like once they had to really start doing something in the second half, the Bills were just all over it.
Yeah, let me say, I really, really love the Titans' game plan coming into this game. I mean, they had the Bills on their heels. The quick game, the short game, the rollouts, the tight ends, they didn't want to throw to their wide receivers. They just wanted to throw to their tight ends and backs, and it worked. They rolled out. They had quick game. They had screens. They had dump downs. And that was a great game plan. But that can only take you so far. And I think even as it was happening, it was frustrating, right? I asked some players in the locker room, the Bills players, defenders. I said, you know, when that's happening, how tough is it not to get frustrated? And they said, yeah. I mean, when you see that, like, you're getting close. You know, they're just nickel and diming you, but you just have to kind of stick with what you're doing. And eventually, you know, that's going to turn. And I kept thinking to myself, okay, they can't keep doing this whole game. The Bills have to make adjustments. Once they did, it swung the Bills' way, because then once the Bills got a couple scores, they couldn't keep doing that, because then Rudolph had to stay in the pocket, try and look downfield, and that's when the pass rush started to get them. I love the Titans' opening game plan. I think they did it right. I mean, I still wonder about this whole, to me, it was a bit of shenanigans with Will Levis. And then, you know, we hadn't talked since all that happened. I mean, there was no indication all week that Will Levis wasn't going to start. And then suddenly Mason Rudolph starts because, I mean, Will Levis was a full participant in one of the days of practice this week. And then he doesn't start. So I just thought it was interesting. And they wanted to kind of, to me, they were protecting him from playing in this game against the Bills. That's what it screamed like to me. Mason Rudolph was a better choice. And he did a really nice job early in the game. But the Bills' defense, their pass rush, you know, finally just, they just kept sticking to what they were supposed to do. And they finally made some plays.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. We'll get some calls in with everybody out there that wants to jump in with Sal. You know, Sal, the tale of two halves. We saw Cooper early. They targeted him on an early third down. It was a drop. And then as the game went on, he got more and more looks. And his snap count wasn't exactly high, but his target share was. And, you know, for me, I was trying to talk myself down about, you know, they're a team that's going to have to transition into an offense that has someone of that importance. And as he starts to learn the offense, they'll look more complete. And this game was kind of, you know, an onboarding for that. And it still went really well. We see what he did, and we see how it also opened things up for other receivers. And along the way, I feel like we got what a Josh Allen offense normally looks like, which is four guys that are the big four. You know, play the hits. That's Kincaid, who was vertical in this game more than he has been quite often. And then Coleman, Shakir, and Cooper. He went to his big guns.
Yeah, 19 snaps for Amari Cooper in this game. 19 out of a possible 55. That translates to, what I see, 30-something percent here. Let me just see this. 35%. So a little bit, maybe a little bit higher than I anticipated. I thought like 12 to 15 might be good. So right around that area, I guess. But also you wonder, did he have a couple few more snaps because of the Curtis Samuel injury as well, right? I mean, like, maybe that, you know, led to that circumstance. The drop on the opening drive was massive. I mean, we're sitting here talking about this slow start, and it was certainly a slow start, and they did not execute well, and, you know, a lot of things have been said about it. But if he catches that first pass, that's a third and one, guys. He had clearly had a first down. If he catches it, they're near midfield. I think the entire first quarter changes. I really do. I think the Bills go down and have a really great chance to score. We're not talking about early on the game, play calling, and you got to catch that pass. But for the Bills to stick with him, have the faith in him, not that they ever thought that they wouldn't, and to go back to him as the game went on, for him, he said a lot, obviously, And obviously he settled in a little bit. Even on the touchdown, he did bobble it a little bit, and then he got his 2 feet in. But you're right, Jeremy. I think what happened was, as the game went on, he's getting more comfortable. He's winning a few one-on-ones. Josh Allen is feeling a little more comfortable kind of looking around at everybody because, as Khalil Shakir even said after the game, yeah, it makes a difference. When Amari Cooper is out there, it's opening things up for everybody else. And then Amari's winning his one-on-one battles, obviously. You know, it's making a lot of sense as well. So no doubt about it. I think as the game went on, incorporating him, just in general, the offense, you know, started to play a lot better. Look, this was – I know the Tennessee Titans had not played the most massive of schedules or quarterbacks. They came into this game as the number one pass defense in the league. They did not give up a 300-yard passer. I know, again, they didn't play great quarterbacks. Josh Allen went for 323. I mean, say what you will about the first half. It was awful. There's no doubt. It was a terrible first half. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's a 60-minute football game, and the Buffalo Bills, you know, did a great job against the league's top defense.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Sal, in terms of the Bills' game plan in this game, did you feel a shift at some point? Maybe was it right after the half? Was it in the second quarter? I think... The one thing that I noticed looking at some of the game charts or the drive charts today was that they were running so much on early downs early, like first down. They began so many drives with runs that they were just getting stifled and getting themselves into third and or second and longs and then third and longs. Maybe they just figured out, like, hey, run game wasn't really going great, so they started throwing early, and that was working. They got some of their biggest plays through the air. There was a Coleman 44-yard play, some others that were, like, the first play of drives, and those are the explosive plays that McDermott talked about coming into the offseason.
Yeah, so this has been kind of an issue, if you want to call it that, I guess, because things start off slow and you're not scoring, that it becomes an issue for most of the season, where they are running a lot on first down. Joe, you've had these stats before, right? I mean, they're just they're a heavy first down run team. And this was biting them in this game because they couldn't run the ball on those early downs. And if they did get a nice run on first down, second down was killing them. I mean, you think about it, actually, let's go through this real quick. First series, they ran the ball for 5 yards. Now you're facing second and five. And then you get to 4 yards. So it's third and one. So it worked out fine. And then Amari Cooper had the drop, which I thought was massive, like I said. They did throw the ball on the next series on first down. But they had a penalty, which backed them up. And that caused the three and out. They actually threw the ball. They threw the ball three straight times on the second drive, guys. They completed it, but there was a penalty. Then incomplete, and they had to punt. And then you go to the third drive of the game. And this is one where it kind of stands out. They go for 5 yards, then on second down, it's negative one. Now you're suddenly at third and six. Mac Hollins can't separate, right? I mean, like, so it just seemed like it was too much of a grind. Here's what I didn't like about the game plan. It wasn't the play calling of runs and passes to me. The issue I had with the opening game plan, I did not like the first half, the opening game plan, because I thought when they ran plays that took too long to develop. They ran out of shotgun. James Cook, there are times like that play, how they run it out of shotgun, James Cook, these zone plays, these can be really effective. This was not happening on Sunday, and it wasn't the defense to run it against. I said during a break, and I said to Eric Wood, and he gave me nice credit on the air. During one of the breaks, I said, can they please just put Josh under center and run straight at him? And they did, and Ray Davis rips off a 22-yard run. That's what I wanted to see. When in a game like that, to me, go back to what you did against the Jets. Be more physical. That's a really great front you're facing. The way to go against great fronts sometimes is to run at them and not let them take control of what you're doing up front on your side of the ball.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to see. And then the other thing I didn't like about the opening, you know, game plan, I thought the Bills should have kind of gone with what the Titans did. Some of these dump downs, some of these screens, some of these, and they don't run a lot of screens, right? Whatever. Rollouts, give easy passes to Josh. To me, I just thought overall, everything they were trying to do early took too long to develop. And there were guys that just weren't separating downfield as usual that we've seen this year. And then finally, things did start to open up once they kind of had a little more control of the game on the scoreboard and the Titans had to look for everything.
For me, Sal, you know, run-pass balance, like we're going to talk about all the time, I'm sure. For me, it was about three different times on second and five or less they're calling run plays, which is something that I've been keyed in on since the playoff game, where they had second and four or less and they ran on like 10 of 13. The way I would say it is, they want to find a rhythm early in games. The number one thing I think they need to do is get Josh into a rhythm. He's your most important player, and on a series where you go run, run, pass, and it falls incomplete, I feel like I got three chances to get a first down, and I only gave Josh one of those chances. I don't like that math. So on a second and five, I want to put it in my best player's hands. I get it. Like, I know why they want to establish it. I know why they want to be balanced and be multidimensional. But for me, it's second and favorable that is the one that always, you know, flips my whatever, gets me a little bit upset about the way that they're calling games.
Yeah, I understand that. And, you know, it seems like you're trying too hard. Like, you understand it, like you said. But at some point, you're like, well, you have Josh Allen, and you have to do something a little bit differently if that's not working. The other thing that's been, and I understand, like, because of the hand, right? I think that's why. I'm not positive, but it just feels like that's the case. I mean, here we go with another game where, guys, it felt like there were times where Josh Allen could have gotten a first down.
Yeah.
If he runs the ball. And that's just been gone. It's been completely gone from this offense. Eric made a great point on the broadcast, and Chris did too. Chris started to make the point, and they were talking about it. But anyway, the point is, the Bills have been one of the best teams in the league over the last several years on third down. They're one of the worst teams in the league this year on third down. But one of the reasons they've been one of the best teams in the league, because Josh picks up two or three a game with his legs. And then all of a sudden, you're going from 30% to 50% if you pick up an extra two or three first downs with his legs. And that's just not happening right now. And I thought a few times that could have happened yesterday.
Big day for Tyler Bass. He goes 6-for-6 kicking, 4 extra points, 2 field goals. And he talked after the game that he felt like he got support from the Bills Mafia.
Yeah, he did. I spoke with him after the game, and he said he felt great going in. He's very happy. He felt happy all week because of the support he got and really getting back to having fun again. He said it's really about having fun again, and that's what he did all week. And, you know, he understands the pressure he's under right now. And for him to go out there and kick six kicks, all conversions, 4 extra points, 2 field goals, on a windy day, by the way. It was windy. I mean, you guys were there. That was not the best kicking conditions. And also, they weren't super long kicks. But given the state of what he's been going through and what has happened, he still had to make those, and even the extra points can be a little bit tricky sometimes. So, yeah, really nice day for him. But, look, this is going to be a week-to-week deal, at least for the time being. You know, I don't expect the Bills to suddenly go, okay, here we go, everything's good. We'll just cut Lucas Haversack. I don't expect that at all. I think that they'll keep the pressure on Tyler Bass because, hey, maybe that's what, also helped him to get to that spot where he had to be more dialed in and concentrate on everything he's doing.
We'll get some calls in with Sal. Spencer in North Carolina. Good morning, Spencer.
Hey, good morning. You know, this the everybody eats conversation, it reminded me of when Jack Eichel was leaving the Sabres. And Jeremy, you were upset with callers for thinking that, oh, we got rid of our best player, we're going to be better, and it just doesn't add up. And I almost called in the first 2 weeks of the season because it kind of felt like that was the way things were going. But it was obvious we needed a number one receiver. Love the Amari pickup. I don't know if it's a one-to-one replacement of Diggs. They don't have the exact same skill set. They're not the exact same player. But one thing I'll say about Amari Cooper is he's been in the league a long time, had great production. But I think in his introductory press conference, it was like one of the first time I'd ever heard him talk. Some were good situations he was in. Some were bad. But the guy just, you know, gets to work, does his job, and plays great football. So, yeah, thanks for taking my call. Yesterday was the kind of day that makes you homesick.
Yeah.
Go Bills.
Thanks, Spencer, all the way from North Carolina. Yeah. I mean, Cooper, Sal, I'm eager to see where this goes. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a one-for-one replacement. It doesn't have to be a comparison in styles or attitudes. If you wanted to, you can do that. What he represents is just schematically, fundamentally, a thing that they were missing that they desperately needed.
No doubt. And listen, it's only going to hopefully get better, right? You would think that's the case. I mean, really, a lot of credit is deserved here to, you know, the people behind the scenes who really helped it happen. And DJ Mangus, I believe, is the coach's name who helped out, you know, behind the scenes, late nights, staying with Amari and working on different things, understanding, you know, what needs to be done. So, you know, Sean McDermott made a point of that after the game. Yeah, this to me is a really, really big addition to this team. For several reasons. He's obviously a really good player, but also I just think that what it does for the rest of the offense, for the rest of the players on the offense, and we saw it in this game. And as the game went on, I mean, guys, the one-on-one matchups he won. They're just, now you can't think about it now. If you're Seattle, if you're Miami the following week and Jalen Ramsey, you may have to start thinking about, hey, do we want to put our top corner on Amari Cooper? Do we want to shade a little bit towards him? I mean, that just makes such a massive difference around the rest of the offense and what other guys can do and how they can operate.
So, did you get a look at the Jets game last night?
I did. Yeah, I did for sure. You know, I think overall, you know, people asked me who should Bills fans want to win. I think the Steelers, to me, because, I mean, the Steelers have yet to play a division game, and they're going to play against the Ravens twice and the Bengals twice. They're going to get some losses. The more distance you put between yourself and the Jets and Dolphins, the better. The Bills now have a huge, huge lead in the AFC East, and that's great. As far as the Jets are concerned, I mean, guys, at this point,
did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Wait. The way that they're playing, the way that they're not winning, and considering their roster build, I said it for a while now, it just feels like if they don't get to the playoffs this year, which is really not looking good, it could really set their organization back even another few years. And I understand why they're doing and going all in. I get it. I mean, they have the longest playoff drought in football, and they're trying to finally, you know, break that and do everything they can. And they're not middling it, right? They're going all in. But the risk of going all in is, when it doesn't work out, you bust. And that's appears as though the track that they're on right now.
Looking for a Jets rant today. That's what I want. The other side of that, by the way, is Tomlin making the switch to Russell Wilson, and it looked good.
It didn't look good early. Like, the first quarter was bad. Like, he was missing passes. The fans were chanting for Justin, I think. Like, Tomlin was under fire, and then, like, the next three quarters, Wilson was just amazing. Yeah. He was great.
He was good.
Yeah. The rainbow ball to George Pickens looked like that was their whole offense, but that works.
Hasn't Russell Wilson thrown the best rainbow ball in the league for a long time?
Oh, yeah, touched the scoreboard.
That's what he made his living on. Doug Baldwin down there somewhere. Now it's George Pickens who's, you know, I'm thinking about it from a fantasy standpoint. Like, the Steelers are alive in pass catchers with Wilson. All right, Sal, we'll be listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show coming up 10 o'clock today.
Yeah, you guys, just real quick, want to wrap up a couple injuries here before I go, we can kind of just what to monitor today. Obviously, you mentioned it earlier. Terrell Bernard, you know, he twice went in the medical tent, once to get evaluated for a head injury, and he was cleared. And then later, he got stepped on and, you know, twisted at the ankle, it looked like. He goes in, he gets evaluated for the ankle. He comes out, he played two plays, and then he came back off the sidelines. I saw him go right to the bench and tell trainers, you know, it was bothering him. They looked at it again. He was ultimately declared out. The good news is I saw him in the locker room after the game. He wasn't walking with any sort of brace or boot. That's great news, but we'll see where it goes. Obviously, a big week to monitor for Terrell Bernard. And then who else am I missing?
Curtis Samuel?
Yeah, that's the one early in the game. Curtis Samuel, like, he tries to come back for that ball that gets tipped, lands on his shoulder, and the same thing kind of happened last week, guys. If you remember the play in the end zone against the Jets, it was an incomplete pass. He got up, and he was kind of, his shoulder was bothering him, it seemed like, or something, but he never left the game or anything. Well, the same thing happened here, and this time he left the game, and he was declared out. So, you know, we'll see where this goes with both them, but obviously, you know, a game on Sunday at Seattle, and those would be the injuries to kind of monitor this week.
All right. Sal Capaccio. Thanks, Sal.
You got it.
That's the Barnes Injury Report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Car crash, for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Open segment. When we return, we'll buzz through some phone calls here. I want to hear from you. 803-0550. Your reaction, short term, long term, big picture, small picture, whatever you want. On Bills Titans, they get the win, 34 unanswered points. Up next, the trip to Seattle to play the Seahawks. Also today, I'm going to be on the hunt for a rant about the Jets. I just want to hear somebody yelling about the Jets.
Where's Francesa?
I need somebody yelling about the Jets.
Is he out there still in front of a microphone? We got to find somebody.
Gerard Mayo called his team soft.
Really?
Yeah. It's always good.
Wow. You left the booth yesterday. Drake May was playing great. And then he didn't do anything the rest of the game.
No, it went south. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
All right, 803-0550, our phone number, 1-888-552-550 on WGR.
Rudolph under center. Drop the snap. Ball is loose on the turf. It's skittering into the Bills' second line of defense, and they say they've jumped on it. No sign from the official. There it is. Buffalo football, Terrell Bernard. Who else but the middle linebacker? Takes the snap. Blitz coming. Fires over the middle for Amari Super Cooper for a 12-yard touchdown reception.
Victory Monday, one of the highlights of the game, brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Jeremy and Joe, happy Victory Monday. Another beautiful day. When's the next time we will see a cloud? It's been days.
I think you're going to see one in a couple days. Okay. But today and tomorrow are going to be
just nothing
ideal.
But the wispy clouds, all we're getting. It's been beautiful. Bills are atop the AFC East, very much cruising to their fifth straight title. I mean, yeah. Does anybody have a problem with saying that? The second place team is 2-5.
I can't even get close. The Dolphins might hang around. They have the easiest schedule remaining in the league, but don't they need to beat the Bills to win the division probably?
Yes.
Because if they don't, then that's four games better they'd have to be than the Bills. Just, I don't know. I don't see it. I think the Bills are going to cruise to the East.
And now it's about what can their ceiling be? You know, maybe these next couple weeks are about evaluating if Brandon Bean wants to make any more trades, because if you know this early in the year, like let's play this out a little bit. Sorry, we're going to go big picture. We'll get some calls in here. Gary and Tom Hagan, 1 second. If I'm Brandon Bean or you're Brandon Bean, you know you're going to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So home playoff game.
You're going to have a home playoff game. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to play a non-division winner. All right. I'm already thinking that I should expect to be in the divisional round.
Yeah.
Should I? That means you just win your first playoff game.
They could play Cincinnati in the first playoff game.
They
how
could.
Confident do you feel about that?
I don't know, but I'm playing at home.
All right, yeah.
They'll be favored. Expecting to be in the divisional round.
Okay.
And now it's about, all right, well, once I'm that far, there's no such thing as a transition year. What do I need? Do I need a safety? Do I need a linebacker? Do I need whatever you might want? Do I need another defensive end?
How's Bass look by the deadline?
Right. Everything is going to be about evaluating for that. And for us and for people that watch this team and evaluate this team, if we're being honest about it also, it's going to be 10 weeks, basically, of how do they look in relation to what it will take to win those games in the divisional round, in the wild card round, divisional round, conference championship.
Maybe chasing down the one seed, too.
Right, and I know they lost to Baltimore, and I know they lost to Houston.
Yeah, they need some more help.
But the playoffs is a second season, and you are they the biggest favorite in the NFL to make the second season right now? Kansas City's right there. Kansas City 6-0. Their division is nothing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, Chargers are in second at 3-2. Chiefs are 6-0. But they're the two. Here we are right back again where, well, actually, I don't know. Is the whole, no, AFC North's not this. AFC South, is that live now because the Colts are one game back?
No, I think
Houston lost. I mean, I don't think so.
I think the Colts are toast.
I mean, Richardson at one point had like two completions on 9 attempts yesterday.
They can't play him and expect to win.
So I don't know. I feel like I already know 3 of the division winners at least in this conference. And I almost want to put the Ravens in there because the Steelers schedule gets so hard at the end, but I don't know. Wilson looked pretty good last night.
803-0550 World Series Yankees and Dodgers. That starts Friday.
I was really hoping the Mets would get in there. Dodgers are going to be tough to root for.
Gary in Buffalo. Hey, Gary, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Morning.
I'm going to take myself off the phone as I'm driving because I think it can sound a little bit better. But, it's funny because everything I wanted to talk about, you and Sal hit on the nose in terms of, my frustration. I mean, great win. I love the adjustments and way to come back. But I just feel like there's a couple plays specifically that just – stand out to me that were wanting me to throw something at the TV.
One of them was, I think we're inside the red zone, and I don't know if it was third or first down. I can't remember what down it was, but they went empty, and then they had like Josh run the football on a keeper, and I'm like into the teeth of it, which has been frustrating as it is watching us run the ball in between the guards, all right, between guard and tackle, knowing that's the strength. They couldn't move Simmons all game. And so I think I was just confused as to, like, the approach and the strategy. I mean, I understand that you have a script that you come in and prepare for, but once you see the script kind of go sideways, which you guys have all mentioned, it's like it's time to put the ball in the best player's hand, make the adjustments. And I just feel like I don't want to get back into the space that we were with Dorsey, where, you know, our record was decent at one point, and then he was, you know, as basically everybody knew what we were doing, except we weren't doing a good job self-scouting, so I'm hoping that they take some time to really self-scout better on offense this week and come up with a better game plan, especially when you're going with teams that have a strong defensive front. And so that was my take. Thanks for the call, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. There was one play where Allen decided to keep it himself on a bit of a read, and he reads and keeps it himself, and it doesn't go anywhere. And my thought at the moment was the guy wants to play. He wants to get involved. He always wants to get involved. And early in this game, it seemed like that's one of the things that's so interesting. Here's Tennessee, a run-heavy team, coming to Buffalo, and what they call in their first drives, pass, 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 pass.
Play action to the tight end in the flat. Oh, felt like it happened nine times.
Throwing it the whole way down the field and making money doing it, building a 10-0 lead. And the Bills, what are they doing? I'm getting James Cook on 2nd and 5 and forcing 3rd and shorts. Like, the Bills on 3rd down, we're talking about this sometimes, that their 3rd down numbers aren't as good as they've been in years past. Maybe that's because Allen's a little reluctant to run. It could be that. It could also be, I mean, I guess we could look up if the 3rd downs are as favorable as they used to be. Because, you know, 2nd and 5 to me should be about not getting to 3rd and 1. It's that now that you have this vertical offense and more of a threat in the vertical passing game like they did all day through this Tennessee game, 2nd and 5 to me is an opportunity for some of these explosives. And I'm sorry for I keep going back to that playoff game against the Chiefs. They had no explosive plays in that game. Zero. Diggs had the drop, I know. So did Sherfield. But part of the reason they had no explosives is because they didn't try for that many. They had a lot of 2nd and 4s that they ran it. That's not
right.
Anytime you hand that off, I know it could be an explosive play. But to me,
it's less likely.
Yeah, you're just
less
not likely. Trying for an explosive play. And even that, like a lot of people would say an explosive run play is 10 yards. An explosive pass play is twice as much.
Yeah.
So I'm always going to want them to lean in the pass. I want them to, I guess in my heart of hearts, I want them to be the team I watched them be when they were awesome, which is Josh Allen in 11 personnel winging it to receivers down the field. And that's what they looked like yesterday.
Yeah, in the 2nd half.
Yep.
Did you notice Allen at the 2-minute warning in the 1st half? While things still weren't going great.
They hand the ball off and run the clock down?
Yeah, he looked, I don't know, like maybe it's tough to see. Like I'm a little higher up too.
Is it a what are we doing scenario?
Kind of. Like I don't know. I was trying to read him and it felt like he's like, "Man, what are we doing right now?" They ran that I'm glad the game went well because otherwise this series would have ruined my week, I think. That the Bills had they get the ball on their own 24-yard line with they're down 10-7. They get the ball with 2:41 left in the second quarter. 2:41. They run James Cook for 2 yards, which takes 4 seconds, and then they run 38 seconds off the clock down to the 2-minute warning.
Yep.
And I thought Allen looked like, what are we doing here? What's happening? Like, he kind of looked like that. I don't want to, you know, put words in his mouth, but that was what was in my mouth.
Well, there's probably
I put words in my own mouth, which was, what in the world was that?
There's probably a fine line to walk here. Like, why would they run the clock down there? And that's because they want to try to score, but also if they don't, they don't want to give the Titans too much time.
But even score what? Aren't you kind of playing for a field goal if you do that?
Again, it's a fine line. It is a little bit scared. It's you want to say it's conservative. You could also say that it's...
You got to go 75 yards.
That it's well, you can go 75 yards in two minutes.
I know.
I know you can. But I'm with you.
Easier with 2:30.
But when they ran the clock down, that is to me saying, if this doesn't work, let's give them less time. As opposed to just, let's see what we can do with 2:41. They said, all right, we only need 2 minutes. And then, of course, it's incomplete. And on the 3rd down play, he runs. And that's that. 4th and 1.
Even that, though, like, I don't know. Like, I think you're right. That's probably what they're thinking. What was the result? The result was you wound the clock down to the 2-minute warning. You went 3 and out, and what'd the Titans get? They had the ball at their own 40 with 44 seconds. Which, by the way, were you scared on that last play of the half? He got close. I don't know how close. There were Bills there, but he got to like the 15-yard line, and I my heart dropped for a second. Like, what is about to happen? This circus play. And then they start throwing the ball around, and it didn't work. But, yeah, I don't know. I was not a fan of that. That you ran the clock down like that because the Titans got the ball with 44 seconds needing to go 20 yards anyway.
803-0550. Thomas, next up quickly. Hey, Thomas, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
How you feeling?
Great.
Yeah, feeling great, too. Heck of a win yesterday, and that Amari Cooper trade has paid off, and it looks like it's worked out better for us than the Jets. And a few other things.
Mm-hmm.
How is it that Pat Mahomes could get away with everything? Because he clearly pushed the guy down. The guy just reacted to it. I understand he hit him in the head and he got ejected, but he still Mahomes should have been flagged for a personal foul. So I don't understand how he just got away with that.
Are we talking about the play where he got like punched after doing that? What play are we talking about?
That's the play I'm talking about. Right after he did that, reacted and punched him, he got ejected. So Mahomes should have got flagged for a personal foul because he straight shoved him to the ground.
All right, I saw the play where Mahomes got punched by a Niner.
In the throat.
Yeah. And there was no call. I didn't see what Mahomes did. I saw him run over a guy to go into the end zone, but he also didn't play well. So
Not at all. All right, thanks, Thomas. Yeah, he didn't play well.
No, he didn't play. Neither played well. Did you see the stat that Purdy and Mahomes had a worse, was a QBR passer rating? They had the worst combined passer rating. Here it is. Mahomes and Purdy put up a combined 21 for 42, 230 yards and 4 picks, 27 passer rating. It's the lowest combined passer rating in a game since Saints Broncos had an 11 with Taysom Hill and Kendall Hinton in 2020, who aren't even quarterbacks anymore.
Those are last year's Super Bowl teams.
Yeah.
The Chiefs can't win it this year because I can't stomach if next year we're going to be like, actually, the key is to be bad. Because that's
well, their defense is amazing.
It is. Their offense is amazing. Their offense looks terrible again. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Terrible to a point, I guess. Jeremy and Joe on Victory Monday on WGR.
How do you get everybody to keep the belief? Seems like a lot of the same mistakes.
Stop listening to you guys, number one. Number two, gotta be accountable. I gotta play better. That's the key. I gotta play better. Gotta find a way to run the ball better so we can action pass. You know, I thought did some nice things in the passing game. Brees obviously had a couple of really nice ones. Spread the ball around to Tay, G, and Allen. Mike had a nice conversion, but we gotta run the ball better and I gotta play better.
Aaron Rodgers, a little slice of audio from the locker room. We went to the Jets to have a little fun at their expense. It's brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. What do you got to do to keep the belief? Number one, stop listening to you guys.
Yeah. It's the media's fault.
Good one. Good one.
That dude.
Can't fire the coach.
The next sentence he says, but we have to be accountable.
Yep.
You just weren't accountable 3 seconds earlier. And now, we got to be accountable. Couldn't blame Mike Williams in this one, I guess.
No.
In his post game.
No.
He's running out of people to blame.
He really is.
Salah's gone. The media, I guess, will always be there. So he's just going to do that.
Yes.
He's going to hammer that home the rest of the season. I hope they go 2-15 with him at quarterback. Just be the funniest thing ever.
Tonight, a doubleheader, and it's a late doubleheader. Like when the Bills had a doubleheader, they were 7:30 and 8:15.
Yeah.
Tonight is 8:15 and 9.
Yeah.
So later game.
So I'll probably be waking up to some of my fantasy results tonight.
Maybe. Cardinals hosting the Chargers.
Yeah.
And the early game is, listen, Tampa's good.
Tampa
and Baltimore is a really good game
for
an 8:15 start on Monday Night Football. Who to root for? Root for Tampa, right? There you go. Get in on Tampa. Let's get Baltimore a couple.
They're going to need help because the Bills don't have the head-to-head to Baltimore,
right. Baltimore
and Houston.
So. One more loss, that's their third. Okay, you're back ahead of them. So let's go Bucks, Baker Mayfield and company. We're going to break in 803-0550, wide open on the other side. If you tried to call earlier, want to get in on this Bills team, you know, if we change expectations as this thing goes? What'd you think of Amari Cooper's debut? The passing game, all that. The slow start, we'll kick it around with you at 803-0550. Bring in Chris Brown, who called the game as well, at 8:30 coming up. On a Victory Monday, Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.